Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast.
Check the mic and make sure it sound right, boys.
Hello and welcome back to the Tag Digital Squadcast with me, Steph, and I'm joined by Jack and Drew today. Hey, how are you?
Hello, good, thank you.
Hiya, I'm good.
Good to have you guys back again. Thanks for keeping coming back. You must just love it, do you?
Can't get enough.
Yeah, exactly. So today, got some more questions for you guys. I'm going to run out of questions because you guys are on quite often. Right, I think these are new ones for you. Are you ready? So, Drew, I'm starting with you. If you were stranded on a desert island, what three things would you take?
What three things would I take? Well, probably a very long book.
Yeah.
As I won't have Wi-Fi, so anything on Netflix is pointless. And then I'd take like a portable burner
okay.
for the purposes of preparing food and to like
yeah, that's a good idea.
Boiling water to make sure it's safe to drink, and then
very practical.
She's not going to like this answer, but my girlfriend, so I'll have company.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah, she might be like, no thanks.
But then she's also stranded with me.
Yeah, true. I like that. That's nice. Okay, Jack, what are you thinking? Don't feel obliged to say your girlfriend as well.
Factor 50, it's non-optional for me. What else did I take? Just food and maybe the book as well. That sounds good.
I'll have a great time. Food. I don't know how long you'd be stranded for, but by the sounds of it, you guys would be well prepared. Okay, next. If you could trade places with any fictional character for a day, who would it be and why? It's quite a hard question, actually.
Any fictional character and why? Overthinking it way too much now.
All I can think of, weirdly enough, is the Hulk, but I don't want to be the Hulk. That's literally all that was coming to my mind.
Tony Stark would be pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
fly about.
Yeah.
On the Avengers theme, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. Why can I only think of it? I'm not even a fan of, like, Avengers stuff, but anyway, okay.
To be honest, if I could switch with any character, probably Bugs Bunny, because he's invincible.
Okay. Interesting. I like Bugs Bunny, though. Right, okay, cool. What is the most fascinating place you've travelled to?
Well, obviously not in recent times, but I went to Ukraine, that was pretty cool, and I got to go to Chernobyl, which was, yeah, amazing.
Wow. Oh, I'd love to go.
When I was like 13 or 14, my family and I went to Tokyo. That was really fun.
Yeah, that is actually somewhere which is on my bucket list.
I've been waiting to go back for ages.
Yeah, it's quite a long way from here, isn't it?
It's like a 13-hour flight or something like
that. Oh,
is it?
Is that actually, I thought it was longer than that.
Could be longer than that. Maybe I'm just misremembering.
Maybe I'm just thinking it's quite expensive to get to Tokyo, but one of those things that just like the photos, it just looks amazing. It's like so futuristic. Did it feel like that?
Oh, yeah. And mind you, this was around 2012, 2013 or so, but even then it felt out of this world.
Squadcast. The Tag Digital Podcast.
Today we're going to catch up a bit about creatives and video best practices, because one of the common questions we get asked from clients is about what are the best practices for creative and video. So we thought, you know, here's some great content for everyone. So thanks for joining, guys. So firstly, we'll chat a bit about creatives, ad creatives. What would you recommend for ad creatives, specifically for event promotion in terms of best practices?
I guess it's where you can take it like right the way to the top and look at what resonates with your audience. And then you can also look at formats as well. So you obviously got your videos, your carousels, your GIFs and things like that. But in terms of what resonates and what to look for, it's just understanding your target market. And you can research competitors, look at what those groups are looking at on social media and things, and align your content to sort of work best for those people. The platforms also have tools. There's things like Meta Ad Library can show what competitors are doing. This is all stuff that sort of we do when we're making recommendations to clients, is we'll sort of scout about a little bit more and look a little bit wider and try and really tailor the content as best we can.
Do you think it depends as well on what kind of event you're promoting. So say I'm thinking different industries, so an interior design event versus, trying to think of something else, all I can think of is pizza events. We do food shows and things like that. But just like an example of just in different industries, do you think that there's differences there as well?
Yeah, 100%. I can give you an example out with pizza. Like if you take an event like an interior design show versus something in the life sciences category where the creative tends to be more serious.
That's focused a better example than the pizza. Focused
on the particular content, focused maybe to particular branches within the scientific community or areas of study that are kind of out with my level of understanding. But these types of creatives tend to be a lot different from that depending on the content of the show. And I would assume that they would resonate with their audience well because they're getting briefed in from the people running the events, the marketers who are running them, who understand their audience better than anyone else. And to that effect, definitely they're different depending on the kind of people you're looking to target.
I'm not surprised that our clients are struggling with what best practices when they don't have kind of the data that we've got. We have run hundreds of thousands of campaigns. We can see what works for specific industries and for different audiences. So, I mean, that's why we're coming to you guys to give us some top tips. And in terms of kind of messaging as well, is that something which is, there's best practices for messaging, or is that just dependent on context as well?
I think, again, it's that sort of classic, it depends. So it's, once again, understanding your audience and also looking at where that ad's going to be placed, which again is something that we consider and we'll always advise on anyway. But if you're, for example, featuring loads of text in your ad, could some of that move to the in-feed text or in your sort of CTA text in the placement itself? So it's just understanding that actually your asset that you send across to us isn't the final product of the ad. It's looking at it as a whole and how it looks across the different placements.
Yeah, and touching upon what you're saying there about text, being realistic, we've all got thousands of ads being shown to us every day. You're scrolling through your feed, for example, across social. You're not going to look at an ad which is completely filled with text and read the whole thing, are you? Like, I can imagine clients come to us and think, this is great, it's got all of the information in the ad, but actually, are people going to read that and pay attention? Probably not.
Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes I think it's best to sort of step back. It's really hard to do it sometimes when you're sort of immersed in the brand all the time. You just assume that everyone knows everything about the brand. Whereas actually, if you step back and look at those audiences, if even a sort of warm audience like the website retargeting isn't going to be anywhere near familiar with the brand as you are. So it's stepping back and doing that sort of, it's that really cliche sort of comparisons. Like if it was an alien, would they understand what you're selling and why you're trying to sell it? That's what you need to sort of step back and look at, really.
And to touch on what you just said there, it can be a bit of a battle between getting the information across that you want to convey within your creative and balancing that aspect of it being visually interesting and grabbing the viewer's attention. To make a life sciences example out of it, a lot of times there will be very specific language that that needs to be there to attract that particular kind of scientist or researcher or whatnot, but at the sacrifice of sometimes those ads being a bit, or the creative rather, being a bit text heavy. So it is a balance, and it is something where sometimes we need to take a step back and think, yeah, we can mention this, but also we need to grab this person's attention, you know, get their consideration at a much earlier level rather than just relying on them being attentive to that reading.
And also having so much text on an ad, is that going to pull their attention away from what the actual call to action is? So if it's a register now, something along those lines, then having so much text elsewhere, they might not even read the call to action, and then no conversions there.
That's it. If people just switch off really quickly when they see an ad like that, you need to make it super clear what you want people to do and why.
Yeah, exactly. So are there any common mistakes you'd think that event professionals make with their ad creatives?
Yeah, I would say one of the top ones I tend to see is not all image sizes being sent over, or video sizes when we're running video. On most of the social platforms, there's three main sizes. There's the rectangle, square, and story size. And unfortunately, when we try and if you wanted to run say, a square size within your story placement, you can do it. However, it doesn't look the best. And oftentimes we can see kind of much lower engagement statistics with incorrect placements.
Do clients expect, so they send across one video and they expect that to go across all of the different platforms?
Sometimes, unfortunately, that can be the case, which is why it's important to, when we're running any kind of content, to make sure that we're running the specific image size for that placement so that it looks the best it can.
Yeah, well, if we think about, for example, you're putting an using that ad across YouTube, and then you go to use the same size video for TikTok, that's just not going to work, is it? Yeah. Or you're going to be very zoomed in on one section of the video or something, or it's going to be terrible. It's going to be all pixelated.
That's it. And it's not only that, is that it's considering that placement as well. So for example, say we've got the story placement, you've got the feed placement. In the feed, you've got the extra copy that you can run at the top or the bottom on Instagram. And then you've also got your headlines in there. Whereas that image, if you take it to the correct size, wouldn't necessarily work in a story because there's no extra text on there. You need to add that into that ad to make it work in the same way. You can't just show that same sort of, say for example, it's like a show floor image. It's not going to work in story the same way as it would in feed.
Do you think our clients find it a challenge creating the videos for each platform? Or do you think it's just, why do you think it is that they're just sending across one video? Is it lack of education, awareness?
It's purely resource, I think, is the thing which everyone struggles with video. It's far more intensive to create than your sort of standard banners, the images that you've got from the event. You can roll those out pretty easily, and most people can sort of handle that. The video side of things requires extra work in terms of actually getting the video shot, production, and all the rest of it that comes with it, let alone then when you start considering us coming along and chirping in that we want a different size. It's a lot to think about.
And it's not just us saying, hey, can you crop this a different way? When you're running usually a rectangular kind of video, and then you have to flip that to a story size, that's completely reworking how the actual piece of content is going to look to the user. It's not just a simple, we can crop it this way, move the CTA button, and then it's all good. It's a lot more involved. So yeah, I do understand why that can be a challenge.
I also presume that on, say, TikTok, the audience is engaging in a different way to how an audience might be engaging to a bumper video on YouTube, for example, or is that...
That's it. I mean, I'd always say that if you've got video, it's worth running it and testing it no matter what. We see uplift kind of regardless of what the content. That's because platforms can favor it in terms of like how they treat it in the algorithm. But that next level is starting to understand what works best on that platform. So when you take TikTok as an example, if 15 seconds is going to be the longest you ever want to go, but then say on YouTube, you could get away with much longer. Or if you're running just as a bumper, you could run it as like 4 seconds. I think that's the cap. Google isn't my specialty.
And with all of the, with all of this talk about, you know, length of video and whatnot, there is definitely an importance to striking that balance between being creative and being informative, because you can grab the user's attention, but if they don't know what they're seeing, then what was the point to seeing that video? So we tend to find that the best creatives strike a balance between kind of getting their value propositions across while also having kind of quick, snappy headlines that are able to intrigue the user, especially for VizProm or DelProm events where the tickets are at a price that isn't prohibitive of kind of immediate sign up.
Yeah, sometimes it's just a bit of a challenge as well with video. Yeah, like you say, getting all of that info into such a short amount of time. And then sometimes I think a lot of our client videos that we get sent have loads of info in, loads of snappy snippets, you know what I mean? Like the little catch lines and things like that. But then it's not clear what their action is at the end. Are they promoting an event? Are they, like, what are they showing, basically? And we need clarity with that as well within this short amount of time that they've got.
Yeah. Or the inverse, where we get sent a video that's around 2 minutes long that wouldn't really be suitable for social.
Yeah. Exactly. So would you say that the videos need to really be specific to the platforms that they're on, ultimately?
Yeah, I think once again, it sort of loops back to really like looking at what that audience is, where it's going, and understanding what content is going to work best on the platform. And that's where sort of that's why they sort of hire us. That's where our expertise lie. We run hundreds of thousands of campaigns a year. That's what we can advise on best.
And going back to the different audiences then, would you recommend having different content per video? For example, for videos, would you say we should have different content for different audiences at different stages of the marketing funnel?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's sort of understanding how familiar a user is going to be with a brand. So for example, when you're in the upper funnel stage of sort of the journey to a registration, it's really introducing what the show's about and things. And that video is not like, we're always shooting for conversion, but that video is not necessarily going to drive the conversion. It's sort of sparking that idea in someone's head. And then as you go further down the funnel, sort of into your mid, that's where you want to sort of really excite them about the event and get them really intrigued. And then your final, that's where we're really sort of driving the conversion. That's where we want to get them over the line. And that's when you're making that content, when you're sort of bringing in those messages in the video, that's what you're really focusing on.
And from a practical perspective, even this can be very, very crucial when you have a particular value proposition for someone who wouldn't be aware of your event. For example, last year we ran a campaign where one of the speakers was Louis Theroux.
Oh, cool.
It very cool indeed. But it's something where for someone who isn't aware of your show or your conference, videos are creative that highlight that particular value proposition, like a particular speaker or maybe a really cool company is exhibiting, or there's a particular product at your show that you think people in this audience will be excited about. That's something where having kind of particular creative tailored to specific audiences is something that can really jumpstart a campaign.
That's interesting that you say that, because then that's probably maybe giving our listeners a slight heart attack, because it sounds like for an event, you're going to need different content to promote, say, the speakers, different value propositions, and then the different videos as well per stage of the marketing funnel, essentially. So there's a lot, the way we can look at it is that there's a lot of opportunity here.
Yeah, I mean, it very quickly adds up. I guess that's why we sort of offer the video creative service to sort of ease the load. We've got a resource in-house that can turn around quickly, even when team, like sort of clients do have creative resource in house, it's often very slow and it doesn't sort of, it's just not going to benefit the campaign if you add it with 2 weeks to go. It really needs to be there from day one.
And what we should mention as well is really how important creatives and video are for ensuring the success of your campaigns at the end of the day. It's not just us being a pain saying, look, you need video, everyone does need video. And we want... Yeah, for promoting, whether you're promoting an event or promoting your services or anything, we're all consuming much more video than maybe we were previously. So it's just kind of thinking about how people are consuming content. And at the minute, we're seeing a lot higher click-through rates, I believe, from video than still images.
Yeah, absolutely. We do see sort of significant uplift when you run video across the funnel versus stills and things like that. So yeah, it's 100%. It's a non-optional at this point.
Yeah. It's always worth testing. And if you think of it this way, to touch on a point you made just there, creative is so crucial because it's the main thing, if not sometimes for some platforms like TikTok, the only thing you will be seeing. It's the thing that's going to grab that user's attention first. It's the most kind of... It's not the only piece of the puzzle sometimes, but it is the most crucial piece. And so it's very important that kind of creative resources be up to best practice. And like Jack said, with the creative video service, we run thousands of campaigns every year. We know what it's going to take to have that video be top quality.
Cool. And off the back of that, obviously it is quite contextual, but how would you say that you create ad creatives that stand out in a crowded event market? What would you say the key standout features are?
So, I guess the best example of this is, to go back to TikTok, their whole strapline for advertising the platform is make TikToks not ads. So it's what that essentially breaks down to is making content that adds value to a user. So when that's an ad, it's again going back to making it clear what you're offering, and we kind of handle the targeting bit to make sure it's the right person that we're talking to. So that's how you are going to add that value and tick that box.
Cool. And then how do you go about measuring the success of ad creatives and videos? Drew, you touched upon this earlier. What is it that you're looking out for to say, look, that's that's really working, that creative?
Well, with a lot of the shows we've ran them a couple years on, or we have data from 2022, even just 1 year, we can say this image, when we added in maybe this image of an interesting speaker that you had with that value proposition of see XYZ live speaking at this conference, maybe our click-through rate increased by like 20% or something like this. We can use kind of, was there an uplift in conversions? Was there an uplift in engagement? We can look at that kind of year on year based on previous creatives ran, and we can use that as a metric to say this campaign was improved directly because of this particular creative.
That's it. And you can even go into sort of more robust methods, such as like A/B testing for the event. So you can take the two versions of the creative and we can come out with a winner, what's going to work best. We could even, yeah, there's loads of options with that sort of thing.
Yeah, and I suppose you kind of just have to test these things out, otherwise you're not going to know. But in general, we have a creative best practice guide. We know what works, what doesn't. Obviously, context, we keep an eye on campaigns, do A/B testing, like you say, because it also depends on your audience and things like that. So, cool. Is there anything else you guys want to add about creatives, video best practices that'll enlighten our listeners?
95% of cases at width when your audience is in a field that you don't personally understand, think about, would this image, would this video, if I was an interior designer, would I click on that for an interior design show? Would that interest me? Is that visually interesting enough? Is my attention thoroughly captured by this particular creative? I think when you're looking at it from like that engagement perspective, which obviously is the first step to then gaining that conversion, especially at a new data level, I think that's one of the most important things to consider.
And just touching on, Drew, your point there as well, it's quite a subjective thing as well, isn't it, creatives? And it's important that you do step into the shoes of your audience and think, would this be something that would pull you in? But at the same time, as much as we've got the creative best practices, it's also quite subjective. So you've got to make sure you're testing more than one creative, more than one video, and see what works with different audiences. Otherwise, I mean, there's no point in using the same creative because that's not going to resonate with all of your audience, unfortunately.
That's it. I think a really good example that I thought about with this was, say, for example, during sort of COVID, when mask rules were different across different regions, one region could have been completely without masks, and ads to there, if you were showing them with masks, would look really odd. But then, for example, if you went conversely, so a lot of Asian countries were still in sort of had mask rules going on later on than Western countries. If you showed ads without, it would look jarring. So it's something as simple as that, and stepping back and understanding what that target market is going to be expecting at that time.
That's actually a really good example of that, because you can use that across all different creatives.
Sorry to mention the C word, but yeah.
I know. Okay, cool. Well, thanks guys for joining today. Lots of great key takeaways there. And if anyone's interested, we do have our creative best practice guide we can share, should you want to see what they are.
Squadcast, the Tag Digital podcast. Listen to the Squadcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.